Good morning. You know, I had it all planned out that my wife would do that and say that about me. That's why she did that. Of course not. I'm always embarrassed when that kind of stuff happens, but certainly it's always good to be appreciated. You know, if you've not yet had a chance to call your father, if your father is still alive, I would encourage you to do so. I made 3 phone calls this morning, and that's increasing, increased from last year. I called my dad, of course, and told him how much I appreciated him. He's 92 years old, and he certainly appreciated the phone call. And it's interesting, I only talked to my dad, but I heard my mom in the background, but I didn't talk to her. So literally 3 seconds later after I hung up, I got a call from my mom. Oh, hi, Tone. How are you doing? And always great to have mom and dad. It's incredible. Then I gave one of my sons a call that I gave last year. And this year was a new call to my youngest son as he is celebrating his first Father's Day. And I beat them to the punch. Before they called me, I called them and wished them a great time. But certainly, it will be lost in me to not understand that this sometimes is not a good memory for a lot of people, and for a number of reasons. And so today we want to talk a little bit about that. And so it is with that posture that we understand that sometimes that this is not a good memory for many of us. But I really believe what's going to happen is that we're going to try and really change the pathology of our minds as we talk about a good father. There's a double entendre here with a good father. We're going to talk about the idea that our Father who's in heaven is a good father. Indeed, and talk about the qualities of a good or a father who's in heaven, but also the qualities of a good earthly father, right? And so that's the whole idea, that double-edged sword, so to speak, and talk about that from a biblical perspective. And then ultimately, we're going to say, why does that even matter? Why being a good earthly father also matters? And so hopefully this morning, when all said and done, you'd have been encouraged in your soul for sure. And so we will have a time here of making this go forward, Alex. I'm not sure why it's not going forward. There we go. So, all right, a good father is the title of our message. You know, when you hear the word father, what comes to mind? Sometimes, for some of us, depending on your experience, love, protection, a tower of strength. You know, I remember when my youngest son in particular found out that his dad was not Superman. That's the way he viewed his father. And he saw that I, too, am a flawed human being. And he had to get a little getting used to. And, of course, it was important for me to be vulnerable and not try and portray this disposition of being Superman as he was understanding this idea. But sometimes that's what comes to mind, this idea of strength and love and protection. But for some others, absence, pain, either from absence or the death of a father, or a strained relationship. Sometimes even hatred. You know, I presently I'm a mentor for a few young men who had their father absent from their lives. And to actually see the effects of that is heartbreaking. These are great young men. But oftentimes, why a father is absent is because it's a pathology that they themselves could not break. And the idea of being engaging and vulnerable and intimate with their children can be very challenging. And so our prayer this morning, that as we reveal the goodness of God as Father, and we grasp what qualities a good father possesses, and even why good fathers matter so deeply. And so the idea is that maybe you'll be sitting there and you'll be inspired, encouraged of how great our Father in heaven truly is. Today will not be exhaustive. All that the idea is to spur in your mind some things about who He is. And maybe for some of us who are earthly fathers, that we're encouraged and inspired, and maybe reflect on that role that God has given us, and there is no greater role for us on this earth, especially as our young men and women are impressionable at that age. And so we will delve right into this idea. I'm not sure what's happening. I'm going to start singing, "Lord, I Thank You." There we go. All right. When I threatened Alex with that, he quickly changed the screen. I've never seen him act so quickly. Let's talk about God as a model of a good father. In Luke chapter 15, we read about this father. Oftentimes, if you have a Bible that actually has titles of sections, it's called the parable of the lost son. But, you know, we talked about this in a message before. It perhaps is mislabeled and should be the prodigal father. Oftentimes, we look at it from the son. But this morning, we'll take a dynamic that from the father's perspective. Of course, we know the story. The story is that a young man who wanted his part of the estate because he wanted his money to spend it and to spend it now. And ultimately, he went about, as young people do sometimes, and he squandered his wealth in wild living. Sometimes you don't have to have wealth to have wild living, but that's another sermon for another time. But the whole idea is this young man, and then he realized he started begging for food. And then the Bible tells us he comes to his senses, he says, "Man, I've got to humble myself, and I've got to go back to my father." Any good father, perhaps, when this young man was asking for his share of the estate, probably said, "Son, it's not time. This is yours." But because the young man insisted, the father gave him his share of the estate. And he squandered it. And he realized that I am in a pig's pen. And my father has a lot of servants. I'm going to go back and ask him to be one of my servants. So we pick it up in verse 19 in chapter 15. It says, "I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants." So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. his father. Had a reception of this wayward son that's enormously challenging. And I'll elaborate in a second. Then in verse 22, it says this. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. This father in heaven did not scold, no scolding, no shaming. There are a lot of things that this father could have said. I told you so. A lot of qualifications could have been said. Bring the best robe. Get the fattened calf. Put a ring on his finger. It was not Beyonce who first came up with that line. But the whole idea is that he runs, he embraces, he restores, he celebrates. I mean, I want you to imagine that for a second. I think that last one is really important. God celebrated this wayward son's return. Almost with reckless abandon. Fathers sometimes have a challenge when one of their children who goes wayward comes back in even a small shape being humbled, that they don't use that opportunity to press their leg on their necks. Sometimes, do you sense that this father was not celebrating for himself, but he was actually celebrating his son? There are a lot of times, because of challenges and even traumas in people's lives, when it's an opportunity to celebrate their child, they somehow make it about them. That speaks of a brokenness. But this father was just simply celebrating. I remember one time we were having dinner as a family, and one of my children said something to me, and I did not celebrate immediately. And I think it was my daughter who said, "Dad, right away, right away. Say it right away." She must have been four. I don't know how old she was. But as a father, it was twisted in my mind what it means to celebrate. I thought maybe if I just celebrate this, they're going to settle and not try and achieve for themselves what they ought to. And there's such a twisted mentality that we fathers have got to learn to celebrate our children. Amen. It's what God does with us. Yeah. He did not hold back. Can you imagine this older man just seeing his child and running towards him? It paints a beautiful picture. It's what God models as a good father. In Matthew chapter 7, we see, you know, this is an atypical sermon that I would normally preach, where I don't like oftentimes to preach topical sermons, but we'll go ahead and do that today. In chapter 7, verse 9 through 11, this idea of God modeling what he's like. It says, "Which of you," in verses 9 through 11, "if your son asks you for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? God is a great gift giver. God is generous. God is waiting to throw a party, any excuse for a party. Man, yesterday had to be one of the most beautiful experiences we had as the Thompsons hosted our cottage annual day. There, oh, amen. The generosity was palpable. My father-in-law who was there, he said, it is so beautiful to see happy people all celebrating together. There's over 100 people there. It was beautiful. Children swimming in the water. Adults just sitting there soaking in the sun. People enjoying fellowship and food and food and food. And then there were some more food. But the idea that God can't just eat anything for a party. This idea of generosity. And I don't know what your picture of God is. My dad and my mom are 92 and 84 respectively. I can't wait when it's their birthday or to celebrate them, to give them something, to have them have dignity about their lives. And I didn't do that because I'm a special person. God is helping me what it's like. He says, if you want to give good gifts to your children and you are not so perfect, how much more so your Father in heaven? Is that the way you view God? Romans chapter 8 helps us understand another quality about God. Romans chapter 8 in verse 15. It says, the spirit you received did not make you slaves so that you will live in fear again. Rather, the spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. I want you to think about this for a second. My wife was sharing with me this insight she had as she was reading the scriptures. I said, it's good you're reading scriptures. I didn't say that. This idea in Psalm 51 when it talks about God creating us in us and giving us a new spirit and a new heart is that that is something that is supernatural that needs to happen. In connection with this, I want you to think about what is going on here. The Bible tells us that God saves us and for that we ought to celebrate. That alone requires celebration. But not only does God save us, I want you to understand this Father that we have. He restores us, as the prayer in Psalm 51 says. He recreates us from our fallen state. And he adopts us. There are stages here that is well beyond he saves us. Let me give you another earthly example. That's like seeing someone in the streets who needs some food. Not only did you buy them some food, you go and sit with them. And then you say, what else can I do for you? Do you understand what God is and who He is? He not only rescues us from the dark world and hell, but He restores us and recreates us and then adopts us. I am a very flawed human being, but I can tell you one of the greatest things that I feel about myself is that people have to remind me that Justin is not my biological son. I honestly forgot. I have never looked at Justin as anything but from day one. He is amazing as a father. I mean, we can talk a lot more about this father that protects us, that guides us, that shepherds us. These are just some brief qualities that we can look at. The qualities of a good father, we'll combine some of these in Matthew chapter 3. We realize what the model does in Matthew chapter 3, verse 17. When Jesus got baptized, when something good happened in His life, and a voice in verse 17 says, and a voice from heaven said, "This is My Son with whom I am well pleased." I want you to imagine with me for a second. Could you imagine Jesus having a better father than the Father in heaven? And yet God chose to voice His encouragement to His Son. Wow. If anybody did not need to hear with you, "I am well pleased," it would have been Jesus. Right. And yet Jesus... That's not the way I grew up. I grew up with, "Of course I love you, but I don't have to say that to you. When I stop loving you, I'm going to tell you." See, my dad was not an affectionate father. Mom was over the top. Dad wasn't. I don't know if Mom was making up for Dad. I have no idea. But let me just say, that's who my mom is. And my dad, there's no doubt I knew my dad loved me. Zero doubt. But he never said it. With words. And I thought, well, it worked for me. So maybe that's the way I will be. I didn't consciously do that. But subconsciously, it became part of my psyche. And I married a woman who was the exact opposite. That woman, by the way, is Melanie.
I hope so.
The idea is that we've got to be encouragers. But what if I encourage them and they settle? So what? I remember a guy was asking me advice. His sons were interested in soccer. No present people. I'm not talking with them because I know there's people in that situation. But I was in Boston. And someone was asking me about his son. And he thought, they're good players, but they're not that good. What do I do? What do I do, Tony? This guy is an athlete. What do I do? Can they make a career out of this? I don't think so. So do I encourage them to go along when I know the chances of them making a career out of this and wasting a lot of time? Or do I have a straight talk with them. What do I do? And I said to him, maybe led by the Holy Spirit, I said, nobody ever died of dreaming. And I said, you're not his coach. You're not his scout. You're not his talent evaluator. You're his father. Nobody ever died of dreaming. And you encouraging him at this moment in time is not for the moment. This is going to reap dividends later on in life. You know how I knew how to set that? Because I had a little boy that played football and he was a pipsqueak. And people said, one day we're going to see you on TSN and ESPN. But he wasn't going to do it. But that little boy knew that his dad believed in him. Maybe not for football, but for more importantly, life. Voice it. State it. You're not their scout. You're not their talent evaluator. You're their father. Stay in your lane. Amen. Hebrews chapter 13. In verse 5, we read about something quite interesting. It says this about God in verse 5. It says, keep your lives free from the love of money, and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Amen. A quality of a good father is that they never leave. They guide. Psalm 23, perhaps one of the most renowned psalms. God protects. He's a shepherd. Amen. Modern day, we have people who are so enthralled with their careers and maybe even their reputation that if they may not physically leave, they emotionally leave. And are so disengaged . You know, as a preacher, a lot of times I would have sermons preparation in my office. And I try to communicate with my children, you're never disturbing me. One of the most iconic pictures is a picture of John F. Kennedy in the White House with John Jr. beside him in the office. And somehow he brought about to America and the psyche of America. That picture spoke a billion words about what a son and a father. He was arguably the most important human being on the face of the earth from certain perspective. That his son was just in the office running around and was not bothering him. This idea of presence physically, emotionally, mentally is so important. I can't say I got it all right all the time. The vocation that I'm in and was in and have been in for a while is that of being a preacher and a minister. And we can put so much value on that. I'm talking about me, and I'm sharing from my perspective. that there are times that I was not emotionally available to my children, and I would have never said that. Because what I'm doing is so important. The moment I stop being present has got to be riding outside my lane. A good father protects. You can't protect if you're not there. And you can't farm out protection to other people. It's not a hireable role. And a lot of people farm out their responsibility with other people because they've got important jobs or hobbies, worse yet. Or you're not good at it. You're the best at it for your child. And so I would encourage you, brothers. That's what a good father looks like. There's some times that you've had to turn down opportunities for a job because it was not best for your child. Because you needed to be present. You know, at one time, my dad had to work 3 jobs to support the 7 children and my mom. And it was hard. I look at certain things that my dad did, the sacrifice, but it came at a price of being emotionally connected. My dad lived away from us for about 4 years. One was very important for me. And I say the presence, it mattered. Lastly, in this area, Ephesians chapter 6. Hopefully these are thought-provoking things to make you think about, man, to encourage you, man, that's awesome I do this, or man, I need to up my game here. Ephesians chapter 6. In verse 4, this is what it says. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Don't stifle your children. Don't exasperate them. Teach and train your child lovingly. I believe in discipline and disciplining your children. But let that not be the reason that you abuse your children. First Corinthians 13 talks about this idea of love, right? We've often talked about putting in your name in there, but let's talk about you as a father. The Bible says this is the way we ought to treat one another. So I ask you this question. If we ought to treat one another that way, how much more so is it important for you to treat your children in this manner? That you teach and train your child lovingly. I see on TikTok and social media some gurus of parenting that some of you embrace, that it's absolute hogwash. You know what hogwash is? You ever wash a hog? A pig? You know what comes off it? Not good. That's what I'm saying that is. It's hogwash. Anything that does not talk about teaching your child, you're not training a SEAL 6 person. You're not training an athlete. You're not training. That's not your job. Yours is to teach and train your child in the Lord. I don't care if my child became the best CEO, but he's not a contributing member of society with love and kindness and gentleness, the qualities of the fruit of the Spirit, then we would have failed. And so the father trains their child lovingly. And so I encourage you today, the call is not to be perfect, but to be present, faithful, and reflect God's love. Amen. Why does this matter? Why do good fathers matter? Because good fathers build identity, models God, instills stability, and establishes a legacy. Proverbs 20, verse 7 says, "The righteous man walks in integrity, and his children are blessed after him." I would love to live my life in such a way that I leave an inheritance, monetary, for my children. The chances of that happening is zero to none. But the legacy that I leave with my children is how to be a good father. Not one time have my children ever resented, "You're not leaving us an inheritance?" As a matter of fact, the reverse. "Dad and mom, we'll take care of you." I chose to go in a vocation that doesn't leave inheritances. I'll tell you about that job title in a little bit. I say this, the legacy that we leave, it matters. An absent father, or one who wounds his children, leaves a question of self-worth and damages how a person sees God, an authority, and their ability to have relationships. This job that I do, a lot of times what happens, because I see it, people's damaged relationships with their parents, a lot of what's called projection happens to me. That I represent an authority in their life, and they project that, especially that relationship with their father, on me. And lash out towards me. It's part and parcel of it all. But that's because the relationship with their father, and as people get older, that holes get bigger and bigger and bigger. Today, we can end that pathology. The call is none greater than the fathers in our society. I love mothers. I have one. But for this day and age, and the call of the hour is for us to begin in our home and the fathers that we need to be. And so today, it's really important that we see who a good father is, we see the qualities of a good father, and then we see why it matters. It leaves an indelible mark on us. More oftentimes than not, the people who are not good fathers are because they had an issue with their fathers. Let's end that cycle. Let's end that pathology. Through God, it can happen. You see, today for fathers, perfection is not needed. Just faithful, present, and surrender. It's amazing how your children are forgiving. It's amazing. Everyone else, whether your earthly father was great or lacking, you have a heavenly father who knows, sees, hears, and loves, and calls you by name. 1 John 3:1 says, see what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. Amen. So today, we can end this by modeling our life after our Father in heaven. As great and as much as I love my dad, he was not affectionate. He was not an affectionate father. I am, and I try to end that pathology. I kissed all my kids when they were older until they stopped wanting me to kiss them. And I say, I am your father. I will kiss you whenever I want to. You see, church, we can end this. And I hope that my children are better fathers to their children than I was to them. I stand on my father's shoulders to be a better father to my children. I want them to stand on my shoulders. I'm not in a competition with them. I don't want their children to say, Grandpa was a better dad to you than you are to me. That's the legacy we ought to leave. And that's the legacy that God says, your heavenly Father that can recreate. Remember, this recreation, He just doesn't save you. He recreates you. Amen. And so today, hopefully, as a good father, you saw our Father in heaven. We examined some qualities of a good father here on earth. Establish why this matters. It's not just, hey, let's just be better citizens. It's for legacy. It's for purpose. It's for authority. It's for their shaping. And ultimately, in Romans chapter 8, verse 32, we're about to take communion. If you don't have communion, please go ahead and raise your hand, please. In Romans chapter 8, verse 32, let me ask you a question. Can a father in heaven show better love than this? It says this in verse 32. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? God communicated his love for us in sending his son with sacrifice. This has got to be one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible. No, it doesn't necessarily need to be yours. It is for me. It speaks to me every time. God, his son not sparing, gave him to bleed and die. Do you see God in this way? God says, how much more can I tell you I love you? I'm giving you my son. And you're wondering if I'm going to withhold other things from you? Dude, I just gave you my son. I just gave you my son. I didn't spare him for your sake. And you're wondering if I begrudge you, if I want to hurt you? Man, the only time I discipline you is because I love you. It's not out of anger. It's because I care for you. Do you grasp it? He spared nothing so he can tell us he loves us. And that's what celebrating the communion every Sunday is about. I love you. I love you. I know you may not understand everything that's going on in your life, but know this. I love you. So as we take this emblems that reminds us of the sacrifice that he did not spare his own son, let us pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you for modeling for us what a good father is. Thank you for being the example, the protector, the encourager, the guide for our lives, and ultimately demonstrating that love in sending your son. As we celebrate this today, Father, we say thank you. Help our lives to reflect that you not only saved us, but restores us, recreates us, and adopts us. That you went above and beyond. And so we thank you for that. In the name of Jesus, we offer up this prayer. Amen.